Webster defines the word authentic by saying being what is represented or claiming to be. Being what is represented or claimed to be. Now, sometimes in our day, it is hard to find products that are authentic. It is hard to find relationships that are authentic. We seem to live in the day of the imitation. We seem to live in the day of the generic brand, so to speak, where there's always a copy for the real thing. But what we want to learn about in these upcoming weeks is the authentic Christian life. I believe in the Word of God is calling us to live an authentic Christian life. I believe that the world around us is looking for believers who will live an authentic Christian life. And they're looking for people who don't merely carry around Christian propaganda or have a Christian bumper sticker on their car, but who really live the Christian life. And this morning, while it may seem somewhat simply stated right at first, I want you to see that an authentic Christian is a truly caring Christian. An authentic Christian is someone who really has a heart that cares. So many Christians today have what I would call an I don't care attitude. Many Christians, you run across them and you try to challenge them with something from God's Word or something that's going on in society, and it seems as though their attitude is almost an I don't care attitude. It's that many times it seems as though they don't seem to care about the Word of God, or many times they don't seem to care about the people of God or even their testimony for God. And yet I believe today that a Christian who's walking in the Spirit of God, a Christian who's growing in the Word of God, is a Christian who cares. He doesn't say, I don't care. He doesn't have an I don't care attitude, but he is a Christian who really cares. An authentic Christian is one who cares. He's one who cares enough to do several things. And I want you to notice, first of all, that an authentic Christian is someone who cares enough to obey the Word of God. An authentic Christian is someone who cares enough to obey the Word of God. An authentic Christian is someone who cares enough to obey the Word of God. He doesn't shrug it off, but he desires to know the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, an authentic Christian will hear the Word of God with a mind of obedience and with a heart of submission. He will hear the Word of God with a desire to obey. Obedience, then, is the common denominator for true believers. And I believe that a Christian that is saved and walking according to the Spirit of God has a desire in his heart to follow according to what God's will for his life would be. Notice, first of all, we can be doers of the Word. We can be doers of the Word. The Bible, in using the word doers in verse 22, is speaking about performers of the Word. In fact, the Greek word is the word mimetai, which means an imitator of the Word of God. God is telling us then, be ye imitators of the Word of God. Or we could say it this way, the Bible is the script that the Christian is to live his life by. We are to be the performers of the Word of God. We are to read it, we're to apply it, and then we're to live it out in our lives. Now, believers, those of us that are saved, do sin, and that's a fact. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But the fact of the matter is that the basic longing in the heart of a believer is to obey the Word of God and to walk in accordance to the Word of God. And we can be doers of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God says, I want you to observe the Word of God. I want you to observe to do the Word of God. In other words, God does not want us today to merely glance or to just simply learn something intellectually, but He wants us to come to His house saying, Lord, whatever it is in Your Word that You show me today, help me to apply it so that I can live it out in my life. John 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now think about what Jesus said there. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Now that's pretty basic stuff. You see, we can be doers of the Word of God. Now a doer of the Word of God looks into what is called here the perfect law of liberty, and he continues to look into the perfect law of liberty. Notice what it says in verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, speaking of the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now the Bible then in this passage is likened unto a mirror. And the Bible is called here the perfect law of liberty because it causes us to obey God, not out of fear, but out of love for God. It is not a law that is intended merely to cause fear. It is a law of liberty. In other words, some people think the Bible is so restrictive, but when you really understand the Bible, the truth sets you free. It is the law of liberty. In other words, the truly free man here this morning is the man who's obeying the Word of God. And the man that is really in bondage here this morning is the man that is disobeying the Word of God. The Bible is the perfect law of liberty. And we are to look into this law of liberty, and we are to use the Word of God properly. We are not merely to glance at the Word of God, as it says in verse number 23, beholding our natural face, and then verse 24, turning away. But we are, verse 25, to continue looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's why we come to church week after week. That's why we read the Bible at home. Why? Because we are to continue in the perfect law of liberty. It is a mirror that will show us what needs to be changed, what God wants different in our lives. Now, I wonder this morning, are you looking into the perfect law of liberty? Are you looking into the Word of God this morning with a desire to grow, with a desire to obey, with a desire, if you will, to submit to the will of God for your life? God wants us to look into the perfect law of liberty with an intent to do whatever it is He leads us to do in this hour. I heard a story once about a fellow out in eastern Tennessee. He was kind of an old mountain man. He heard about some tourists that were camped out on the edge of his property, and he was a little nervous about that, and so he went down to the area where they had been camping just to walk around and see if they'd done any damage. And this mountain man had no running water, no electricity, had no indoor plumbing. He was just a man living in the last century, so to speak. He got down and began to look around this area where the city folks had been camping by his property. And as he was looking in the trash and around some of the areas that they had left a little bit of a mess, he picked up a mirror. And he looked inside that mirror and he looked into it longingly and he looked into it lovingly. And he said, "I never knew Pappy had his picture took." And he took that mirror, and he was so happy to have that mirror. He took it home, and he looked around. He didn't think anybody was looking, and he hid that mirror in a special place in his house and went on to do his chores later that evening. But his wife saw him hiding that object, and so she was curious about it, and she went and found that mirror, and she gazed into it as well, and she looked at it and said, "So that's the hag he's been running around with." Now, they definitely had no concept of what a mirror is all about. But you know, as Christians, we don't want to be ignorant of the Word of God. Sometimes Christians get strange ideas about the Bible, or they make up their own philosophy of what the Bible's trying to say. But we're to look into the Word of God so that we might see a reflection of ourselves that might be changed, that we might grow into the image of Jesus Christ. And we can be doers of the Word of God. Even in 1999, with wickedness all about us, we can obey the Word of God and continue in the Word of God. Notice, not only can we be doers of the Word of God, but the other choice is that we can be deceiving ourselves. We can either be doers of the Word of God or we can be deceiving ourselves. Now there are two kinds of Christians here this morning. Those who are trying to follow the Word and apply the Word, and those that are really deceiving themselves. Now notice what it says as we read in verse number 26. The Bible says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." Now, when we look at the Word of God but don't make any changes, then we're deceiving ourselves. when we look at the Word of God and see the problem, then walk away without doing anything, we are deceiving ourselves. My friend, if you went to the doctor tomorrow and the doctor took an x-ray and that x-ray showed that your lungs were filled with disease or with cancer, you looked at those x-rays, the doctor looked at the x-rays and said, we have a major problem here, and you said, nah, that's not too much of a problem, and walked away, how many of you believe you would be deceiving yourself greatly at that moment, you see? Well, it's the same with the Word of God. When we come to the Bible and we hear God speaking to our heart and we can sense a problem or a need there, and then we merely walk away and don't make a change, don't seek to do what God is leading us to do, we are deceiving ourselves. We also deceive ourselves when we merely act religious. The Bible says in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious. Now, I suppose this could be said of every denomination, but since I've been a Baptist all of my life, I'll just pick on us Baptists for a minute, all right? I was Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead, amen? That's just what I are, you know? So that's what it's all about for me. And I know that at times we Baptists can seem to be religious. I've met some Baptists that look so good on the outside and talk such a good talk and said such wonderfully flowery prayers, and after you got to know them a little later, they were meaner than the devil. They seemed to be religious. Now, don't raise your hand. You've probably known a Baptist or two like that as well. But the fact of the matter is we can all play the part if we're not careful. I mean, if we'll be honest about it, all of us can play the part. And in doing that, we are deceiving ourselves. Now, there's only one illustration specifically given in verse 26. It says, if he seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. In other words, if the tongue is not controlled by God, the heart is not controlled by God, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaketh. One way to know that someone's religion, that someone's walk with God is not true and pure, is if their mouth is always contemptible in speech. They're always saying things that are either negative or destructive in some way. And the fact of the matter is that the Bible says a person who seems to be religious, but he's just walking about in this way, is deceiving himself. Now, how many of you have ever seen a child, for example, that told a lie, and then you kind of tried to catch him in that lie, and then they told another one, and by the time you got through the process, they had convinced themselves that the lie was the truth. Have you ever met a child like that before? I've been involved in talking to some kids like that and so forth. But you know, as Christians, what we don't want to do is live a lie. We don't want to think that because we look nice and have a Bible and vote on the conservative end of things, that we are okay. We don't want to deceive ourselves in that way. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And here the Bible says in verse number 26, but deceiveth his own heart. You know, what we see here is that it is possible that we, like a little child who convinces himself that wrong is right, it is possible that we can convince ourselves that we're okay, you see. But the only way to know that we're living a life that is pleasing to the Lord is if we're living according to His Word. You see, my estimation of myself, my estimation of you is not good enough. God's Word must be the mirror that reflects to us how we're doing. So an authentic Christian is a Christian who's obeying the Word of God. And if you are here this morning with a desire as a Christian to live an authentically true and consistent Christian life, then we must follow and obey the Word of God. Now, an authentic Christian cares. He doesn't have an I don't care attitude. He cares enough to obey the Word of God. Secondly, I want you to see in this passage that an authentic Christian not only will obey the Word of God, but he will encourage the people of God. The second characteristic here of an authentic Christian is that he will encourage the people of God. Now, notice what it says in verse number 27. The Bible says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Now, I want you to take note of the fact or the term here, pure religion. Pure religion. The word religion here means an outward expression of service to a God. An outward expression of service to a God. Do you know that I have seen people who have a stronger faith in a pagan God than many Christians have in Jesus Christ? I've seen, for example, in Singapore, I'll never forget going to the Hindu temple and watching as a young couple brought their little baby, and that little baby had been misbehaving, and the priest said that the baby had demons, and so they took the hands of that little baby and placed the hands of that baby over an open flame until blisters were forming on the baby's hands as they tried to get the demons out of their little baby. I'm telling you, that family had faith in their Hindu religion. That family had faith in what the priest told them. But the fact of the matter is, while we would reject such pagan concepts, the fact of the matter is that we must understand that pure religion is an honest and outward expression of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how will that faith be expressed? It says here, pure religion touches other lives. And notice specifically two ways. First of all, it says, pure religion is to visit the fatherless. To visit the fatherless. Now, may I say to you this morning that an authentic Christian is not hung up on who's encouraging me, who's going to help me, who's going to encourage me. Authentic Christians are concerned about how can I help someone else? What can I do to be a blessing to someone else? Who has a need that maybe I can be an encouragement to them? I was thinking this past week as I prepared this message about the bus ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. We have 12 buses today that will go out, 6 in the early morning, 6 in the afternoon. And they'll go throughout Lancaster and Palmdale. And they will pick up the fatherless. They will pick up hundreds of boys and girls today who have no earthly father and bring them onto this property and teach them about a heavenly father who loves them and about Christ who died on the cross for them. And visiting the fatherless is something that we must understand today is an indication of authentic Christianity. These young people today in society in which we live, many of them being raised without a father, without a mother, with difficulty, and they need the love of the Lord. And the Bible says pure religion is not necessarily what we say or what our opinion is about someone else. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father is, the Bible says, to visit the fatherless and the widows. These young people need the touch and the encouragement and the love that a Christian person can bring to them. I heard about a little boy recently who asked his father, he said, "Daddy, what is a Christian? What is a Christian?" And the father thought about it for a moment, and then he replied. He said, "Well, son, a Christian is a person who loves and obeys God. He loves his friends and his neighbors and even his enemies. He is kind and gentle and prays a lot. He looks forward to going to heaven, and he thinks that knowing God is better than anything else on this earth. That, son, is a Christian." And the little boy took a few minutes and thought about it, and then he said to his dad, he said, "Dad, have I ever seen a Christian? Have I ever seen a Christian?" You know what some of these youngsters here in the Antelope Valley need? They need to see a Christian. They need to see an authentic Christian. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the fatherless. Listen, let's put away our pompous ideas and our ideas of how great we are. And let's come back to the fact that real religion is just exactly what the song said a moment ago. It's you and I becoming Christ's hands and feet and going and meeting the needs of those all around us. And I don't think our talk really matters as much as our walk when we consider authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity visits the fatherless. Notice it says, secondly, in verse 27, to visit the fatherless and the widows. To visit in this passage means not only to go and say hi, but it means to help and to care for them. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 3 that we are to honor the widows who are widows indeed. And I thank the Lord here at our church for the many widows that God has brought into the membership of this church. And we have 24 deacons in the church who each have approximately 3 widows that they visit and call and sometimes get medicine for them and help them in other areas. And I tell our deacons, that is one of the highest and most holy opportunities we have in serving the membership of this church, is to serve the widows who are widows indeed. And God wants us as a church, God wants us as individuals to recognize the loneliness and the difficulty that sometimes widows have in this life. And the Bible says pure religion is not just merely thinking about people with whom we have something in common. another person that's our socioeconomic background, another person that's our same work-related infrastructure. But we're to be thinking about people who may not be exactly where we are in life, but who have needs today, and they need the love of the Father through Christians like you and like me. And so we're to encourage the people of God, the fatherless, and we're to encourage the widows. And I want to say thirdly this morning that we should also visit the lonely. The lonely. This is not specifically stated in this passage, but I believe that as Christians, we need to be mindful of the fact that we're to be representing the Lord to a lonely society today. John 13 and verse 35 says this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." If ye have love one to another. Through the course of a week, I find myself visiting in the hospitals, and if not every week, every other week or so in a convalescent hospital. And you know, the fact of the matter is, when you visit many times these places, you find people that are placed there and are never visited even by their own children. Never visited even by their so-called friends. And I believe that pure religion would cause us to remember those loved ones in our lives. And maybe in some cases we're not able to do all that we would like to do. Perhaps sometimes we need to move our loved ones near us, but we don't need to neglect them. We need to love them. I spoke to a lady this past week, and she had a very clear mind. And as we spoke, she said that she had not seen her children who live in this Southern California area for over 6 months. She had just been in the convalescent home. And I believe that pure religion would cause us to be mindful of these kinds of needs and to go and see that need and take the lead in doing the best we can to be a blessing to them. And I believe today, as we think of grandparents, grandparents have a lot to offer us as a younger generation. Grandparents have love and wisdom that we don't even comprehend. Now, I don't listen to a lot of radio or television, but I suppose I've got a couple of favorites. The programs I have heard, for example, on the radio, I like Paul Harvey. I think Paul Harvey's all right. I think he's a pretty good guy. But you know, Paul Harvey, he kind of represents the philosophy that many grandparents have. He's the kind of a guy that really has a way of putting things out there so that we can understand and apply them. He simply wrote this. He said, "We have tried so hard to make things better for our kids that sometimes we've made them worse. For my grandchildren, I'd like better. I'd really like for them to know about hand-me-down clothes and homemade ice cream and leftover meatloaf sandwiches. I really would. My cherished grandson, I hope you learn humility by being humiliated and that you learn honesty by being cheated. I hope you learn to make your bed and mow the lawn and wash the car. And I really hope nobody gives you a brand new car when you are 16. I hope you have a job by then. It will be good if at least one time you can see a baby calf born or your old dog put to sleep. I hope you get a black eye fighting for something you believe in. I hope you have to share a bedroom with your younger brother. And it's all right if you have to draw a line down the middle of the room, but when he wants to crawl under the covers with you because he's scared, I hope you let him. And when you want to see a Disney movie and your little brother wants to tag along, I hope you'll let him. I hope you have to walk uphill to school with your friends and that you live in a town where you can do it safely. On rainy days when you have to catch a ride, I hope your driver doesn't have to drop you two blocks away so you won't be seen riding with someone as uncool as your mom. If you want a slingshot, I hope your dad teaches you how to make one instead of buying one. I hope you learn to dig in the dirt and read books. And when you learn to use those newfangled computers, I hope you also learn to add and subtract in your head. I hope you get razzed by your friends when you have your first crush on a girl. And when you talk back to your mother, I hope you learn what ivory soap tastes like. May you skin your knee climbing a mountain, burn your hand on the stove, and stick your tongue on a frozen flagpole. I hope you get sick when someone blows cigar smoke in your face, and I hope you don't like beer. And if a friend offers you dope or a joint, I hope you realize he is not your friend. I sure hope you make time to sit on a porch with your grandpa and go fishing with your uncle. May you feel sorrow at a funeral and the joy of holidays. I hope your mother punishes you when you throw a baseball through a neighbor's window and that she hugs you and kisses you at Christmas time when you give her a plaster of Paris mold of your hand. These things I wish for you. Tough times and disappointment, hard work and happiness, written with a pen and sealed with a kiss, Grandpa." Now, you know, God wants us to visit the fatherless. God wants us to visit the widows. And I believe today God wants us to be aware of the fact that there are some people who've given their lives serving on foreign soil in the military, given their lives raising a family, fighting it out maybe through the Depression, and they are worthy today of our love and our attention as Christians in this hour. They need encouragement today. Someone said encouragement is like peanut butter. The more you spread it around, the better things stick together. Amen? And we need to encourage one another in this hour. And I'm saying this morning that an authentic Christian cares. An authentic Christian doesn't say, I know the Bible says that, but I don't have to do it. An authentic Christian doesn't say, that's fine. Others might want to get that dedicated, but I don't. An authentic Christian cares about what the Bible says. An authentic Christian cares about the needs of other people. And when he hears of the need of the fatherless or the widows or a missionary need or the grandparents or those that are having trouble, an authentic Christian still cares. And in this callous society in which we live, may we continue to be what God has called us to be, authentic Christians. But not only does an authentic Christian care enough to obey the Word of God and to encourage the people of God, but notice thirdly, he cares enough to guard the testimony of God. He cares enough to guard the testimony of God. Now let's look once again in James chapter 1 at verse 27. The Bible says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, folks, this isn't the Baptist definition of pure religion, all right? This is what God says pure religion is all about. It's all about meeting the needs of others, encouraging others, and then notice what it says, keeping himself unspotted from the world, or guarding the testimony of God. You see, if we take the name Christian, we're going to take the name Christian, a Christ-like one. Now then, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ in this world today. And God wants us to guard the testimony very carefully. He wants us to wear that name properly. I like to see men in uniform. I like to see how sharp someone might look in uniform. There's a testimony there. There's a spirit of pride there. But I believe as Christians today, we need to have a testimony that's pleasing to God. Notice the method of guarding that testimony. The Bible says in this verse, keep himself unspotted from the world. God wants us to keep ourselves from being spotted by this world. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God does not want us to be spotted by this world. Now, this world system, that word world there is the word cosmos, the world system. And it wants to taint us and affect us and spot us and ruin our testimony so that someone will say, I thought you were a Christian. How can you do that? And the fact of the matter is, James is saying, a pure religion is a religion that keeps himself unspotted from the world. And in this hour in which we live, many Christians, there is no distinctiveness in their life. And I believe today that we need to recognize the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians says, come out from among this world and be separate, saith the Lord. It doesn't mean that we're not going to work amongst this world, but it means that our life will be distinctive. Our vocabulary will be distinctive. Our habits will be distinctively Christian. And an authentic Christian is concerned about his testimony. He doesn't want to be known as the trash mouth guy at work. He doesn't want to be known as the guy that's always involved in wickedness. He wants a life that is representing what Christ has done for him. And so the method of guarding is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. But notice the motive of guarding. The Bible says to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, why is that so important? And I believe the fact of the matter is that it's important, friends, because Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says in verse number 14 of Titus chapter 2, that because of that blessed hope, we are to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. We are to maintain a godly testimony for Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes again, he will call his redeemed home. But he also wants us to be living a godly testimony until that time. He wants our life to be distinct. He wants to each and every one of us as Christians to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. Now, an authentic Christian life is what we're talking about today. An authentic Christian life. I wonder this morning, have you been saved the Bible way? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, heaven would be your home? Have you been authentically born again the Bible way? The authentic Christian life. I wonder if there's been a time in your life when you were saved the Bible way. Then I wonder today, do you care? I mean, do you really care about the Bible? Or do you just have kind of the average Christian attitude of, yeah, whatever, you know, I vote conservative and I'm a pretty good guy and don't get too carried away with the Bible. Do you care about what the Bible says? An authentic Christian cares enough to obey the Word of God. An authentic Christian cares enough to encourage the people of God. Whether that's a fatherless child or a widow or a needy neighbor, an authentic Christian truly cares. An authentic Christian not only cares enough to obey the Word of God and to encourage the people of God, but an authentic Christian cares enough to guard his testimony. He's going to be careful at work tomorrow with what he says. He's going to be careful at work tomorrow with what he laughs at. Why? Because he is an ambassador for Christ in this world, and his life is to be distinctive for the Lord Jesus Christ. America needs a whole new generation of authentic, real, live Christians in this society. Standing up for Jesus Christ, caring for the needs of others, concerned about our testimony, and doing our best while we are not perfect, doing our best to obey what the Bible says, to apply it to our lives each and every day. And I pray that in these upcoming weeks, that God will work in our hearts so that our lives won't just be Christian in name only, but that we will be living as an authentic Christian. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this time in your word, and we thank you for what you teach us about pure religion, real religion. And Lord, there's a lot of religion in America today, and yet we recognize that just religion is not the key, but that really and truthfully following you and your word is what really counts. Let the